Thank you for joining us today, June 8th, 2020. This is day 94 at the Emergency Operations Center. With me again today are members of the Emergency Services Council. Tuesday, the Emergency Operations Center announced another COVID-19 case in Kodiak. This was our fifth known case. Just recently, this morning, public health announced a sixth case. Apparently, living on an island does not protect us from this nasty virus. With us today is Public Health Nurse Elsa DeHart to provide information on the recent cases in Kodiak. Elsa?
Thanks, Mike. So yes, we were notified this morning that we have a sixth case in Kodiak, and this case is a close contact to our fourth case. So this person was already isolated, which is why we isolate people, so that hopefully if they do turn positive, that we know where they've been and who they've been with, and it really reduces our chances of spreading further. The investigations for both our fifth and sixth cases, all of our cases, have been completed, and everybody is being monitored. Their health is being monitored by Public Health Daily, and they are isolated. And hopefully we have found all of their contacts and talked with them. At this time, we have three cases that are recovered and three cases now that are active on Kodiak Island. So several of our cases, as you may know, have been asymptomatic cases, and these people were tested because they're either it's due to a mandate, a travel mandate, or maybe it was due to employer testing or other reasons that they needed to be tested. And so that really emphasizes the point that we don't ever know anything about where these people have been or when they were especially infectious. We know usually it's a couple days before they test and we can detect the virus, but no one knows for sure. And that just kind of really emphasizes where we are with this case. We don't know why some people get really, really sick with this virus, and we don't know why some people are more infectious. You'll see places where one person can infect a dozen other people in a matter of hours, where other times people can live with somebody in their household. So it's really, we never know which way we're going with this, and so we can never be confident that we're safe. You know, when public health does its investigations, we go back 2 days, you know, in the prior 48 hours, really looking for those close contacts that may have been most likely infected. However, then we also have to go back 14 days to see where that person may have gotten the virus. And in a case like when we know they were in contact with a positive, that's very easy. But quite often, especially with several of our cases, there's no way of knowing that they had no interactions that they could think of in the prior 2 weeks, or you know, that they were ever with somebody who was positive or had long interchanges with people who may have been just shopping at Safeway or taking takeout, or all those kinds of things are the only things that they can see. So that really means that the person next to you in line may have it and not know it. And so that's why, you know, we really encourage people to wear their masks. We have been super lucky here so far. And remember, when we opened up Alaska, when the governor opened up Alaska, they didn't open it up because the virus is no longer a risk. They really opened it up because of our hospital. We have more ICU beds now. We have a greater capacity in our hospitals. We have more PPE and testing supplies. So that's why it was opened up, not because the virus has gotten any less virulent or is going away. So please remember that. So again, you know, when you're standing in that Safeway line, if you're wearing your mask, you're protecting the person next to you. They're wearing their mask, they're protecting you, you know, as we're protecting each other there, and that really greatly reduces the chance of infection. So really wear your masks and physically distance from people as much as you can, and keep your bubbles small, wash your hands, and take care of yourselves. So hopefully we won't have many more cases in the next weeks to report. Thanks.
Thank you again, Elsa. COVID-19 is a highly infectious and fast-spreading disease. As Elsa mentioned, we need to protect ourselves and others. Wearing a face covering in crowded public spaces can protect each other. Think of others than yourself. Maybe you choose not to follow the recommended CDC guidelines, but if you would, you can protect others in our community. Just think, if someone in your workplace became ill, that could be an isolation for you because you were in close contact and possibly a loss of income. Alaska has seen increases in cases since the governor moved into reopening of Alaska. Last week was our highest number of reported cases since March 1st. There are now 708 reported cases in Alaska, and we've had 12 deaths. We are by no means over the hump. In fact, there are over 40 Alaskan communities, large and small, with COVID-19 cases, and we know Kodiak is one of those communities. But let's move on to a little brighter note here. The Kodiak Harbor has issued 85 harbor use agreements. We've had 15 vessels currently in quarantine flying the Lima flag. I'm pleased with the tenacity and dedication the harbor staff has shown in protecting our community, the fishing fleet, and the brand of Kodiak Fishing. Of course, none of this would be possible without the cooperation of our fishing fleet. My hat goes off to them. Let's keep it up throughout the season. The Kodiak Airport continues to see an average of 80 passengers flying in and out each flight. Social distancing is nearly impossible, though masks are strongly advised in this situation. Remember, when you pick up someone arriving, I still encourage wearing a mask. And please ask your travelers to reduce public contact outside your bubble until their test results come back negative. There's been some confusion around testing protocols required of state interstate travelers. You are required to show a negative test within 72 hours of departure. Then you travel to Alaska, you fill out the mandatory declaration form, you minimize your interactions with others and monitor your health. Then you are to retest 7 to 14 days later. If your tests are still pending, you are required to quarantine until the results are back, then conduct a second test, again, 7 to 14 days later. If you tested within 5 days of departure, showing a negative result, travel to Alaska, you fill out the mandatory travel declaration form, then you retest at the Anchorage Airport, you minimize your interactions with others, and then again, you retest within 7 to 14 days. This is similar if you do not test before travel to Alaska. You can also choose not to test for the virus, travel to Alaska, then go directly into quarantine upon arrival and only leave quarantine for medical emergencies. That doesn't sound like much fun. Kodiak Area Native Association is conducting local COVID-19 testing. For an appointment, call 486-9870 to schedule a test. GANA is also intending to conduct testing from the Kodiak Airport adjacent to Island Air Office beginning next week. The goal is to conduct testing of any arriving passengers needing a test associated with traveling. I'm pleased to announce the Kodiak Emergency Operations Center is hosting a campaign to raise awareness of the importance of social distancing, wearing a facial mask, and washing your hands often. These measures can protect one another from this nasty virus and help to avoid the consequences associated with contracting the virus. Last week, I announced the support of the Emergency Services Council in conducting this contest, so here are the details. This is called the Banner Hunt Contest. You're looking for those remember banners placed around town by the Emergency Operations Center. There's one of the banners behind me right now. These banners have pictorials of social distancing, wearing a mask, and washing your hands. For more information, go to the City of Kodiak homepage at www.city.kodiak.ak.us/news or the Kodiak Island Borough at www.kodiakak.us or the Kodiak Island Borough School District, which is www.kibsd.org. For those rules, the entry forms, and information about the contest. Banner Hunt Contest is open to all Kodiak Island youth ages 6 through 16. Entries must be submitted on or before June 30th. Entries are limited to one person. Entries with the highest number of correct banner locations found will be eligible to win one of five BMX bicycles with a helmet and bike lock from 58 degrees north. Entries can be returned by email to bannerhunt@city.kodiak.ak.us or dropped off at the Kodiak Public Library book drop at 612 Egan Way. Winners will be announced July 9th at noon during the live community update. An exciting video to watch before you begin your banner hunt can be found at the Kodiak Emergency Operations Center Facebook page. Thank you for tuning in today, and we'll see you next week during the Thursday noon live community update. Have a safe week. Remember, stand back, mask up, and wash your hands. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. That was the city manager, Mike Twenge. As he said in the beginning, Kodiak now has a sixth confirmed case of COVID-19. Three people are recovered so far, and three of them are still active and dealing with their COVID-19. As a reminder, people should wear their mask, like he said, at Safeway or wherever you go, because COVID is here, and we want to protect everybody as much as we can. So I'm Maggie Wall. We'll have local news in just a few moments. First, though, let me give you the weather forecast for Kodiak. Right now at the airport, it's 51 degrees and overcast. Turned out to be a pretty nice day out there. The rest of the day, we have a 40% chance of precipitation, but that's mostly after 4 o'clock. Otherwise, partly sunny today, the high near 53. It's 54 up here on Signal Hill. Tonight, cloudy, chance of rain. Tomorrow, scattered showers, mainly in the morning, then partly sunny in the afternoon with a high of 53. Friday night, scattered showers with a low around 48. And I'm going to scan through here. We've got the long-range forecast is showing rain. Chance of showers, chance of rain, rain likely, all the way through next Wednesday. So get out and enjoy the sun today and tomorrow when it comes, and then prepare for the rain. Local news is up next. Good afternoon. You're listening to KMXT Kodiak 100.1 FM. I'm Maggie Wall. It is about 13 minutes past 12 right now. In local headlines, as we just heard, Kodiak has now a sixth confirmed case of COVID-19. We'll have some details on that. We just learned about it during the weekly Emergency Services Center presentation on updates of COVID in town. So I'll provide you with some information. We'll have more during our 5 o'clock newscast. Also in the news today, something exciting, human spaceflight is coming to Kodiak. We'll have that story. Jared put that together for us. China is giving fears of coronavirus in Alaska salmon, and there are several organizations fighting back against that. The CDC and others have said that's not the case. We'll have that story coming up from Izzy Ross, who's at KDLG out in Dillingham. And a weekly update on salmon. It's actually a very slow start here in Kodiak, as with the rest of the state. We'll have those stories coming up in just a little bit. First, we'll finish out this, and then we will be back with the news and more weather. And as we just heard the city manager tell us, Kodiak has had its sixth confirmed case of COVID-19. He recommends everybody wear face masks whenever they go out, because that helps protect you from other people, helps protect other people from you mostly. And so that's an important thing to do. Wear your face mask whenever you're out and about. Just because someone doesn't show signs of COVID-19 doesn't mean they don't have it. That's one of the tricky things about this particular virus and this particular disease that goes with it. So again, we've had a case number 6 was announced today during the weekly Emergency Operations Center meeting. They said that we currently have 3 active cases in Kodiak. They're all being quarantined. And 3 people, they didn't say the first 3, so I'm going to take that back. 3 people are active and 3 have recovered. And that's what is going on in Kodiak. We'll have more news on that coming up at 5 o'clock. In other news, human space flights are coming to Kodiak. Today, the Alaska Aerospace Corporation, which runs the Pacific Spaceport Complex in Kodiak, announced that a Florida-based space tourism company called Space Perspectives is planning to bring human space flight operations to Kodiak Island. These flights will take up to 8 passengers and a crew in a vehicle called the Neptune Spaceship. According to Space Perspectives, the Neptune spaceship is currently the only near-zero emission vehicle that allows humans to travel to the edge of space. The space vehicle features a comfortable capsule under a large space balloon. Jane Poynter, who's the co-founder and co-CEO of Space Perspectives, said, quote, "Looking down on Kodiak over Alaska will be a breathtaking view from our Neptune spaceship. And I look forward to showing our explorers the Aurora Borealis from that vantage," unquote. Mark Lester, who's the CEO of Alaska Aerospace, added, quote, "Conducting space tourism trips is an exciting opportunity for Kodiak and Alaska." Space Perspective plans to launch Alaska balloon flights from the Pacific Spaceport, which will cruise along the edge of space over 100,000 feet for nearly 2 hours. Post-flight capsule recovery will be conducted by a dedicated ship pre-positioned in the waters around Kodiak and the Aleutian Island chain, depending on the seasonal wind patterns. Alaska Aeronautics' role in this venture is to assist Space Perspective with space flight licenses from the FAA, test systems, and refine spaceport operations to ensure safe and efficient operations. This development comes this week as Astra, another spaceflight company that has recently attempted launches from the Kodiak facility, announced that they will attempt another launch this July. And as the Anchorage formally entered the bid to become headquarters for USS Space Command. In the bid, Governor Mike Dunleavy referred to Kodiak's launching capabilities as an example that Alaska is ready to bolster its aerospace industry. But don't get expecting space tourism to hit Kodiak anytime soon. Mark Lester said that test flights are beginning in Florida this year, with operations in Kodiak still several years away. China has stopped importing from European salmon suppliers due to fears of a connection between salmon imports and coronavirus, according to a report by Reuters. State-run newspapers in China reported the coronavirus was discovered on chopping blocks used for imported salmon at a market in Beijing. The initial cluster of infections came from the same market, and some fear the discovery of virus there indicates a second wave of the coronavirus in China. Several fisheries organizations are pushing back against those reports. The National Fisheries Institute compiled statements on Tuesday from health professionals and agencies like the World Health Organization and the U.S. Food and Drug Administration saying that there is no connection between seafood and COVID-19. Fish marketing experts are assessing how the rumors could affect Alaska salmon's image in the world. If people think eating salmon could put them at an increased risk of contacting the virus, even if that information is incorrect, that could harm markets. Here's Andy Wink, who's the executive director of the Bristol Bay Regional Seafood Development Association.
Anytime there's information or misinformation, you know, we have to wait and see to what extent consumers respond to that.
China makes up roughly 6% of the market for the Bristol Bay sockeye. That was in 2016. And while that's not a huge customer base, Wink says it's still important, especially in terms of the potential growth that it represents.
You know, I think we'll have to wait and see to what extent this, you know, if this impacts market demand outside of China, and, you know, if it impacts consumer demand in other markets, in the U.S. and Europe and Japan, where we have a much larger market share and, you know, many more consumers. So we'll have to wait and see on that part of it.
Wink says that if necessary, BBRSDA will work with other marketing groups to distribute accurate information to consumers. In an email, Ashley Heimbigner, who's the communication director at the Alaska Seafood Marketing Institute, ASME, pointed out that multiple agencies have said there is no known connection between seafood, food, or food packaging and transmission of the coronavirus. She also said Chinese officials issued a statement on Tuesday confirming that there was no evidence that salmon was the host or the carrier of COVID-19. She said that Alaska's largest challenge with the Chinese market continues to be the 32% to 40% final tariffs on most seafood, including salmon, when it's imported into China for domestic consumption. Salmon season around Alaska has gotten off to a slow start, but it's still too early to draw any conclusions. That's according to an economist with McDowell Group in Anchorage. Garrett Everidge writes a weekly statewide newsletter that updates salmon harvest for the Alaska Seafood Marketing Institute. In this week's report, Everidge explains that in an average year, less than 10% of the annual harvest occurs in May and June. But harvest typically expand modestly over the next 2 weeks before climbing sharply in July. That's why he's not concerned about the low salmon at this point. Looking at Kodiak, salmon is off to a slow start here as well, same as with fishing along the Alaska Peninsula and the Aleutian Islands. And pink harvest here, well, this is statewide. Pink is expected to be lower than recent even number years, and the projected sockeye harvest is below 5-year average, but higher than the 10-year average. So the fish have not come in yet. We'll just kind of keep posted on that. We do have a fish and game announcement coming up during the Island Messenger, which is up next.
NPR News is brought to you in part by Providence Kodiak Island Counseling Center. For an appointment or more information, 481-2400.
Support for KMXT's Midday Report is provided by Artinger's Fine Furnishings, featuring children's clothing from the Tea Collection, home spa items from Crabtree and Evelyn, and leather handbags by Dooney and Burke. Special orders of the Tea Collection clothing in your child's size always welcome at Artinger's. 486-5554.
This is Alaska Fish Radio. I'm Lainey Welch. Alaska's salmon season is off to a slow start. More after this.
Grundins urges everyone to buy seafood directly from community-supported fisheries at localcatch.org. Grundins, supporting fisheries around the world since 1926.
Alaska's salmon season is off to a very slow start, but managers caution it's way too soon to draw any conclusions. Starting in mid-May, after four short openers, the Copper River fishery was a bust, with fewer than 70,000 sockeyes taken. On a marketing note, salted sockeye salmon roe from the reduced catch fetched record prices for the first deliveries in Japan. SeafoodNews.com reported that the roe sold for $47.75 to $51.43 per pound. That's 36% higher than last year. Elsewhere, Prince William Sound was especially slow, with sockeyes and Chinook landings down about 80% from the same time last year and 70% lower than the 5-year average. Conversely, seine harvests of chum in the Sound were nearly double the 5-year average. Cook Inlet fishing was slow compared to last year. Kodiak also was off to a slow start, along with the Alaska Peninsula and Area M on the Aleutian Islands. In Southeast, trollers continue to target kings, and other salmon gears will be out on the water throughout the month. And all eyes will be on Bristol Bay in coming weeks to see how the sockeye run comes in. A catch of 36 million reds is projected there. In all, Alaska is projecting a total statewide salmon catch this year of 132 million fish, down 36% from last year. The decline stems from a much lower forecast of those hard-to-predict pink salmon of just over 60 million fish, down nearly 53%. For sockeyes, a catch topping 48 million compares to 55.5 million reds taken last year, a 13% drop. The weekly salmon harvest updates are produced by the McDowell Group for the Alaska Salmon Marketing Institute. Find links at alaskafishradio.com. Fish Radio is also brought to you by Ocean Beauty Seafoods. In Kodiak, I'm Lainey Welch.
This is the Island Messenger, a look at personal messages, the weather, and community announcements.
Good afternoon again. I'm Maggie Wall. Not a lot I can tell you right now because we're almost out of time. Today being Thursday is the weekly COVID-19 update. And as they said, we do have a sixth confirmed case of COVID-19 here in Kodiak. So the city manager recommends everyone wear their face mask out and about. We have a short fish and game announcement, which is from the 12th, so it's a couple days old, and we'll let you hear this, and then we'll finish up a kind of an abbreviated edition today to allow for the special announcement about the sixth case of COVID-19.
Hello, this is the Alaska Department of Fish and Game in Kodiak with Kodiak Commercial Salmon Fishery Advisory Announcement Number 2, date issued June 12th at 10 a.m. There will be a 33-hour commercial salmon fishing period from noon Sunday, June 14th, until 9 p.m. Monday, June 15th, in the following areas. In the northwest Kodiak District, the southwest of Fognak, northwest of Fognak, Paul's Bay, and Paranosa Bay sections of the Fognak District, the east side Kodiak District, and the Big River and outer Kukak Bay sections of the mainland district. Closed waters will be reduced from noon Sunday, June 14th, until 9 p.m. Monday, June 15th, in the following areas. At Kaplea Creek, stream number 262301 to the stream terminus, and at Saltry Creek, stream number 259415 to the stream terminus. As previously announced, the following areas remain open to commercial fishing until further notice. The Inner Katoy, Outer Katoy, Duck Bay, and Nijuit Bay sections of the Afognak District, the Fowl Bay Special Harvest Area, and the Waterfall Bay Special Harvest Area. Fishermen are reminded that in the Kodiak area, including the mainland district, until further notice, king salmon 28 inches or greater in length may not be retained by purse hand gear in the commercial fishery and must be returned to the water unharmed. Closed waters are reduced in the following locations. In Fowl Bay to the stream terminus at Hidden Lake Creek, stream number 251406. In Waterfall Bay to the stream terminus at Little Waterfall Creek, stream number 251822. And stream number, or Big Waterfall Creek, stream number 251821. And in Katoy Bay to the fishing game markers located at Little Katoy Bay and Big Katoy Bays near stream numbers 252323 and 252324. Other closed waters are shown in the Kodiak Area Salmon Statistical Chart, detailed in Commercial Salmon Fishing Regulations, and statistical charts, harvest strategies, and commercial salmon fishing regulations are available at the Kodiak Fish and Game Office. And, of course, the most recent salmon information may be obtained by calling the department's 24-hour recorder phone at 486-4559. Thank you very much. Good luck fishing. This is the Alaska Department of Fish and Game.
Thank you very much. And once again, we do have a sixth case of COVID-19 here in Kodiak, and the city manager recommends people wear their face masks when out and about and limit who they have direct contact with.